chapter 11, we'll be looking at the last five verses, verse 15 through 19, as we continue to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the book of Revelation. Once our Bibles are open, let us once again bow our heads, ask God to bless His Word. God, it seems silly for us to pray that You would bless Your Word, for Your Word is already blessed. So probably what we're asking is that You would bless our ears to hear Your Word, that You would bless our minds and our hearts to receive the Word, and then You would bless our feet and our hands to share the Word. God, don't just fill us up with a lot of information. God, equip us as believers to go into this world and proclaim the glory of God, to proclaim His kingdom. For we know Your kingdom is coming. And Lord, many of us in this room are praying for it to come quickly. As we see the landscape of our country, the landscape of our world, Lord, we don't know how much longer we can hold on. But we ask, as my beautiful wife prayed, that the Holy Spirit would come upon us, equip us and prepare us and strengthen us to endure in these days, the days that we live. We thank You for calling us into this country and into this time. And we pray, Lord, that we would see Your glory in this place, but beyond this place is fact. Lord, throughout the highways and the byways of our lives, we pray that the goodness of God would emanate from us, that truly each and every one in this room who proclaims Jesus as their Lord and Savior, may we emanate the fragrance of Christ. So bless Your Word, as we know You will, and we thank You now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, did you watch any football? Who says no? I don't watch football, and I watched football. I mean, come on. Did your team win? Yes. Yeah, see, now we're getting excited. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I want to talk about this morning. We get excited when our team wins, right? What is it in your life that gets you excited? What events take place that really just fire you up and get you excited to the point? I mean, you sit there and watch football games, and you see the crazy fans, right? In there, yes, a field goal, screaming and hollering when their team gets a first down. I mean, it gets excited. We actually do things, right? What is it in your life that gets you excited? What is it that brings you the greatest amount of joy in your life that brings you to a point to want to even shout? Is it your team winning the championship? Is it maybe your child who scores the winning point? I mean, what doesn't bring a parent a great amount of joy when their child actually does that? Or maybe your child brings home straight a report card. That must bring you joy. You see, what a wonderful job they did, and congratulate them. Or maybe it's when your baby takes the first step, right? You get so excited. You clap your hands, and you make a great big face. And some of you parents actually put it on Instagram so the rest of the world can see the first step of Easton Duffy. Did you see it? Yep. Yeah, of course we did. Did you like it?
Yep.
Yeah. This is what we do. We get excited about certain events that happen in our lives, and we want to share those things. I mean, what parent doesn't want to share their kid's straight A, or my son scored the winning run, or the winning point, or the winning basket? Who wouldn't want to share that? But I want to ask us this morning, do we get that excited when it comes to sharing the gospel? When it comes to sharing Christ, the greatest God-man, if you will, that ever walked the face of the earth, that brings salvation to our lives, that does things in our lives and brings glory to Him and shows and displays the power of God? Oh, yeah, see, listen, it's great when your team wins, but guess what's going to happen? They're going to have to play again next year. It's great when your kid scores the winning point, but they're going to have to play next week. And it's great when your child gets straight A's, but they're going to have to go to the next semester or the next year. These things are temporary in our world, but when it comes to the salvation of Christ, that's eternal. That's an eternal message that we get to share with someone to maybe lead them to the Lord, or at least lead someone closer to God. Don't we all need people like that in our lives that are constantly reminding us about God, about how important it is to have that relationship with God, how important it is to read our Bibles, to know what it says, how important it is for us to spend time in prayer, How many of us in this room say, I pray enough, I read enough, I'm good enough? None of us. We all would want to do more. We all would want to do better. And so it's good to have people in our lives that say, trust in God. Walk with the Lord. And so let's remember that these things are so, so very important. To think people in this church are walking closer with God because they entered into this church or are part of our lives, or that brings great joy to me. As I look around this room, I see people that are walking with God more closely than they were a year ago, more strongly than they were 2 years ago, and that just brings great joy to my heart, that we can be a part of that and witness that. It's not bringing glory to us, it's bringing glory to the power of God, because God's working in my life just like he's working in yours. You see, leading someone to God changes their destiny. Think about that. Changes their destiny. Changes their destiny that they'll either live forever with God or live forever separated from God. And truly, if we have a heart within us that loves God, that should be the most important thing. I remember being at a senior pastor conference, and one of the senior pastors in one of his messages shared a story about an outreach, an evangelical event that they had, and they said something like, 100 people came to the Lord. And then he paused. He goes, I just said 100 people entered into the kingdom of God, and no one in this room got excited about it. And we were a room full of pastors. The problem is, we don't give it that much attention. We don't really focus on the fact that we can lead someone to the Lord and change their eternal destiny. And for some of us in this room that have been walking with God for a long time, sometimes we need the good stirring. We need a good fanning of the flame inside us to remind us, I'm saved. I'm an eternal being. I will live forever. And I need to share that with some other people. You see, because there is a day coming, my friends, when the window of opportunity for salvation closes. No longer will heaven be open for new customers, if you will. That opportunity is going to pass. And are we going to miss that? And that's what we're seeing in Revelation chapter 11 in the last five verses. It's actually the moment when heaven closes. It's over. Salvation no longer can be won. And that's what I want us to remember today, that proclaiming his kingdom should be a priority in our lives. And I'm not saying be an evangelist. I'm not saying be a preacher. I'm saying be a Christian that loves your relationship with God so much that you want to share it with others. And it may not even come out of your mouth. It might just be the look on your face, the twinkle in your eye, the joy in your heart, that someone's going, something going on with that person. I want to find out more. So that's what we're seeing in these last five verses, that day that's coming. When that seventh trumpet sounds, something happens. Look with me, if you will, verse 15, Revelation chapter 11. We read, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, and the one who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. So give me your attention. Seventh trumpet finally sounds. Great voices, loud voices. The word loud there is that word mega. It's like where we get megaphone. It's powerful voices proclaiming a statement, proclaiming some good news. Interestingly enough, if you've been going along with us in Revelation, in chapter 8, it was the seventh seal that was broken. I don't know if you remember it or not, but when the seventh seal was broken, what was it? Silence in heaven for about a half hour. In contrast to the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet sounds and all of heaven rejoices. Loud voices, megaphones, strong voices proclaiming a statement, proclaiming the goodness of God. The voices are probably, more than likely, the church. They're in heavenly beings. It's probably the church and the heavenly host for sure, which is also interesting to me when we read in our Bibles a verse where we participate. Think about that. We're not reading about, oh, the church in heaven is going to shout with loud voices, the kingdom of our God has come. That time when we're all waiting for God to take his throne, proclaim his throne, take back his throne. Guys, that's us. We're going to be shouting this from heaven. The statement, look, what does it say again? It says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. Now, you might see an asterisk in your Bible on this particular verse. It better read in the original language, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our God. Singular, okay? So what's the kingdom of this world? Sadly enough, the kingdom of this world is the current world system. That's what the church is saying. The kingdom of this world, the world that what man has set up on this earth, is now going to be the kingdom of our Lord. It's when God finally comes back and says, sorry, Satan, I'm taking back the keys. I'm taking back rule and reign of my kingdom. Now, some of us might look and go, well, isn't God in control? Yes, he is. Of course he is. But he's given authority, has he not, of the enemy over this world. The enemy has authority here. He can do whatever he wants. This moment in time, God's taking back his reign. What I see in this is the strength of our testimony, the strength of our voices. Is our voice being heard in this dark world? Is your voice? See, we can very easily look at the church and say the church isn't doing their job. The church is not proclaiming the good news. The church is not winning the lost. It seems like the lost are winning, right? We can point to the church. Who's the church? We are. So if we're saying, oh, the church isn't doing that great a job, then you're not doing that great a job. Now, if you're doing that great a job, I applaud you. If you are that person in your workplace or in your school that everybody goes, that's that Bible thumper guy. That's the one who always is talking about Jesus. I applaud you. But if you're that quiet one that just says, somebody should do something about that. Think about this. When you see something happening, that's God showing you something's happening. And he wants you to do something about it. And I know it can sometimes be scary, but listen, if we're willing to get into a stadium and lift our voices at a concert or at a ball game, then we certainly should be starting to lift our voices for God, shouldn't we? We certainly should be proclaiming the good news of God. Quite honestly, in our time of worship in this room, though it's a small room, we should be rocking the windows on this place. Right? What are we afraid of? Somebody's going to look at us and say, oh, why are they singing so loud? And I would say because they love the Lord, because they're excited about God, because they're proclaiming, because maybe they had a bad week, and they're like, you know what, forget the week, I'm just going to praise God. These are opportunities for us. When we meet together as a body of believers, these are opportunities for us to proclaim the good news. It's opportunities for you to come in here and share with someone else what God did with you this week. To truly give testimony for what God is doing. What is he doing? Many of us say, well, I just got a list of prayer requests I need. I need God to do this, and I need God to do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if we're praying, we certainly should be praising. And that's the thing I love about our church. We're a praying church. Amen. We are a praying church. We don't just put prayer cards back there because we think it's the Christian thing to do. It's because we want you to write on those cards, this is what's going on in my life. I need this prayer. My brother-in-law, I talked to him yesterday, and he has a friend that just had a surgery But after the surgery, it's one of those, like, I think it's like a lap band surgery or whatever it is. Well, now he's back in the hospital and he may lose his life, this guy. But here's the thing. Certainly pray for Joe. Please do that. But what I love is that my brother-in-law calls me and says, do you have a prayer chain? Can you put Joe on your prayer chain? I'm like, absolutely I will. And that blesses me. That in some sense, even from afar, however many miles it is to Florida, they're like, there's a church up there that prays. And they're going to pray. And we're going to see God do a work. And this Joe is not saved. Father was a pastor at one point, but Joe doesn't believe in God. And we believe that if God heals Joe, that this will be a great opportunity for the church to come around going, praise God, God saved you. Now you need to get your life right with the Lord. And so we're a praying church. We want you to write your prayer requests. We want you to be a part of our prayer chain. You want to pray with us? Send us your email. Tell us you want to be on the prayer chain, and we'll email you the prayers that come. But do me this favor. Don't let it be the thing of gossip. Don't let it be, oh, I want to see what this church prays about. I want you to be praying. I want your voice to be heard in God's house. I want God's ear to be bent because you're willing to pray for someone. That's truly what we need. But not only are we a praying church, we're a praising church. And that's the second thing. Once God answers our prayer, we don't just keep moving on. We got to give him praise. There was a girl in our fellowship. We were praying for her. She went through several interviews, and she would text us, okay, I'm going into this interview. Please pray. And then we come out of that. Oh, that went well. And then I got another interview. Some of these companies, they do a lot of interviews anymore. And so she kept doing interviews. And then she gets the job, takes a picture of her glass wall that's looking downtown Nashville, and just sends back, thank you for praying for me. Praise God, look what he's done for me. It is so important for us to pray, but it's so also important for us to praise. See, we get the opportunity to go, praise God for answering your prayer. That is so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. And you know what happens when God answers prayer? It encourages you to keep praying. Maybe there's someone in this room, maybe there's several people in this room that are sometimes, you know, I keep praying and I keep praying and I keep praying, but nothing's happening. Don't give up. Don't give up on praying. Let your voice be heard. You know, I'll probably share this over at the property if you guys come. In this devotional that I'm reading, the pastor there, I don't want to give too many of the details, but he was praying for something and it took a long time for God to answer. And so it just spoke to me because we've had our property for a long time. And in this, the pastor goes, I am glad God didn't answer our prayer right away. Because it taught us to trust in him. It taught us that once the blessing came, that we were just so very thankful. And maybe for some of you in this room that don't feel like God is answering your prayer, do this for me. Go back to the last time God answered one of your prayers. Right now, just think back the last time God answered one of your prayers. And then go back to that spot. Go back to that place. Either spiritually, mentally, or if physically, if you have to. You know, I don't understand why God saved my life several years ago. I don't know if I've shared this or not, but I asked the doctors one time, how many people survive what happened to me? I know I've shared this with some of you. 0.5% survive what I went through. The other half of that 1% are brain dead. They're alive, but they can't function. And I go, what? When I heard that statistic, I was like, what? Why did God save me? Because you prayed for me. And that's the reality of it. I'm nobody special. I mean, I don't think he did that to me so I would stop running. Seems a little silly. He could have just told me. She's on a health kick right now, so I said, I get it. Easy. But here's the reality. When I drive down the road that I was running on, when that happened to me, it reminds me of the goodness of God. And so if we'll go back to the places where God answered our prayer, it increases our faith. In fact, this pastor, that God gave him this building and they turned it into a coffee house, and he goes up on the roof of it and he prays up on the roof of their coffee house. And so he's literally standing on an answered prayer and asking God to pray, or asking God to answer his prayers. So sometimes if God's not answering your prayer today, you need to go back to where God was answering your prayers and be reminded of the goodness of God and proclaim the goodness of God. We have the opportunity every day to tell someone else about what God's doing in our lives and to give them glory and to give them honor. If you're going to be going into the hospital for a surgery, we want to know about it. We want to pray for you. Listen, before you go. It's like someone will come in and say, what happened to you? Oh, I had to go to the hospital. I had surgery. Hello? Why don't we know about this? It's insulting to us in a loving way. Because we want to pray. We want to say, oh, we help pray, okay? So if you're going to the hospital, then let us know. If you're looking to go on a job interview like we did for this one girl, let us know. We want to be praying for you, you know? If you're praying about, you know, moving, let us know because we want to pray against that. I'm just kidding. Not really, but yes, kind of really. We want to pray God's will, not your will. But those are opportunities for us to proclaim the goodness of God. We got to let our voices be heard. The church was letting their voice be heard. They were so overjoyed in what God was doing. They were proclaiming. They were shouting it from the rooftops. Shouting it from the rooftops. We need to be those people that are willing to shout from the rooftops. You know, it says here, it says, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord. This world, I want you to see this verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, be overhead. Probably a lot of people know this verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. This is the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what the world is about. And these are the same struggles we face, don't we, as Christians? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're not immune to it. Those things are still there for us. Right? Our flesh is hungry for stuff, right? Hot dogs and pretzels and nachos and Pepsi products. We're really getting this announcement out though, aren't we? But our flesh wants stuff, right? Our flesh wants stuff. And those are the cravings that our flesh wants. Just because we're Christian, just because we're believers, just because we pray and read our Bibles and enjoy great fellowship doesn't mean that goes away, does it? But you know what it does do? We have the spiritual strength to overcome those temptations. The lust of the eyes. What are we letting in the windows to our soul? What are we looking at? I know a 13-year-old girl in our church that has told her parents, I want to read this right, she is watching what she puts before her eyes. 13-year-old girl. She's watching what she puts before her eyes. I think that's a good thing for a lot of adults in this room to do, don't you think? We need to watch what we're putting in front of our eyes. Watch the things we're watching on TV that are telling us we have to have. Happened yesterday. Chevy, 0% interest. Man, new truck. That's lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And probably pride of life. That covered all three. It's like, ugh. Don't watch. Be careful what we watch on TV. Make sure it's filtered with God, you know? Or these phone messages we get, you know? What do they call those? Telemarketing, that's it. Telling us things we didn't even know we needed. Hey, would you like one of those? No, I don't want one of those. It's a battle that we fight. And we have to fight it through prayer. We have to fight it through praising God. And if we keep our focus on God and believe that his kingdom is coming, and that when that kingdom does come, guess what? No more lust, no more flesh, no more none of that, no more unrighteousness, no more hurt, no more pain, no more disease. Praise God for that. I'm looking forward to that. Probably no pretzels and no hot dogs. And well, this is a Constant theme, isn't it? All right, last thing I want to say about this. There was a point in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There was a point in your life where you said, God, I no longer want to rule my life. I want you to reign. I want you to be the authority. I mean, that's what it says, right? I got to read it again. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Once we get there, guess what? He's king, he's authority, and it's never going to go away. It's never going to change. But there was a point in your life, a moment of salvation, where you said, God, I want you to reign in my life. I want you to be the authority over the things I see, over the things I hear, over the things I want, over the things I do, over my finances, over my relationships, over everything. I want you to reign. That's why the church is not powered, is powerless, is because we're not letting Jesus rule and reign in our lives. We can sing it, right? We can proclaim it, but if we're not allowing it to happen, then he's not reigning. See, we want God to reign over our will to become his will instead of his will becoming our will. And that's the difference. We need to have him reigning in our lives. Go back to that point of salvation. Remember what he's done for you so that we can actually say the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If that's truly our heart, God, we want your will to be happen. We want your will. See, we can walk around that property all day long and pray if that's what we want. But if it's what God wants, then we're just walking around in obedience saying, God, let it happen. Do what you want to do. Use us as you want to use us. I want our church to proclaim his kingdom come. I want to see people's lives transformed. I want to see people's lives changed. I want you to invite unsaved friends so they'll get saved. I want you to invite people that have walked with the Lord and have not walking with the Lord any longer so that they'll get on fire for God. That's the true nature of a Christian. Healthy sheep beget healthy sheep. You ever heard that? Healthy Christians produce healthy Christians. God bless you. That's what we're supposed to be doing. What's coming out of your mouth? What is your life proclaiming? Is your life proclaiming that Jesus is ruling in your life? I hope so. I hope so. See, the church shouted for joy, did they not? The church shouted triumphantly that God's kingdom would come. But there's another sound in heaven. Did you see it? Look at verse 16. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God. And then they said all this stuff. What I find interesting is because the church lifted their voices and proclaimed God's kingdom, the 24 elders felt the need to worship. Do you see how effective our lives can be if we truly do proclaim God's kingdom? If we truly are using our voices in this world? You are a Christian. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God, and it's the light that he can shine through your life to expel darkness in the places that you can reach, that only you can reach. I can't be with you, but you can be with you, and God can be with you, and he can be shedding light in that place. And that causes other people to worship. And I just love this, that because of the proclamation of the church, the elders had the desire to worship God. Notice what it says. And in some of your Bible, does everybody have the King James Version? It's about the King James and the New King James are the only one that say this. I think this is so amazing. Verse 17, they said, we give you thanks, so important, O Lord God Almighty. Notice right here. The one who is and who was, period. That's where that verse stops. Not the one who is to come. Why? Because it came. Because it's done. It's over. This is so crazy because we know this description of Jesus in Revelation, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. This verse, the 24 elders saying the one who is and the one who was. He's not coming because he's come already. That's the beautiful thing about this. He's already come, and that's the perspective that they have. Guys, he's already ruled. We're already victors. We're already won the fight. The battle is certainly in the flesh, but we have the tools and we have the ability to overcome the struggles in our world and in our lives. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Look at this statement. I read this week. Wendy, put up that. Look at this. Think about this for a minute. Divine appointments usually come disguised as unnecessary distractions. I want you to memorize this for this week. Divine appointments usually come disguised as unnecessary distractions. How many of us go through life so narrow focused? I got to get to that place. I got to go here. I got to get there. And there's all kinds of other opportunities that God is trying to give. And we're going, oh, I don't have time for that. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, this person just called me right now. Are you kidding me? And what did you earlier you said, God, whatever you want. Lord, I'm yours, Lord. Just use me. And God's going, I'm trying to get your friend to call you so you'll pray with him. I don't have time for that. Divine appointments usually come disguised as unnecessary distractions. Turn with me, Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. It says, now as they went out of Jericho, interestingly enough, a great multitude followed him, Jesus, of course, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Look at verse 31. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. The multitude that's with Jesus saying, hey, man, we're on a revival, buddy. Woo-hoo. We're doing things. God's working here. We're coming out of Jericho. God's done great things in Jericho, and we're moving. And then somebody wants prayer. Somebody wants God to do something. Hey, we don't have time for that. It was a distraction. But it was a divine appointment, wasn't it? It was a divine appointment that disguised itself as a distraction, and the multitudes are saying, we don't have time for blind people. We've got ministry to do. I just wonder how many opportunities we've missed because we're busy. We're all busy. The great thing about God is that if we're too busy, he'll give the job to someone else, which is great. But don't you want to do something for God? Don't you want to be used by God? I mean, a phone call, a text, a prayer, a divine appointment, God might have it for you, and you just kind of take advantage of it. And once you do take advantage of it, you're going to be on fire with it. Look at what it says next. Thankfully, Jesus was there. Verse 32, so Jesus stood still and called them and said, I love this, what do you want me to do for you? Blind men crying out to Jesus, what can I do for you? Need some food? Looking for a wife? I mean, what? I love this question. I would imagine Jesus is asking us all this question. As we pray in the morning and ask for opportunities, what do you want me to do for you? What? Spell check. Did I spell something wrong? Oh, are you kidding me? Which one's wrong? Dang. Can you take that off? Oh, Lord. God's asking me, what can I do for you, Rob, right now? Lord, it's the woman you gave me. What time's your flight? I'm kidding. Yeah, spell check. Whatever I was saying, it was a good point. Yeah, what do you want me to do for you? Yeah, well, it'll be edited out. Well, probably won't. Another thing I want you to see in what the 24 elders are saying. They're proclaiming the great white throne judgment for the lost. Revelation chapter 20, if you want to do some homework. We as believers don't experience this judgment. See, our works were judged on the cross. Our sins were forgiven by Jesus. And our names are written in the book of life. And so when we read something like this, we can say, the nations were angry and your wrath has come in the time of the dead that they should be judged. And we might look at it and say, oh, God's going to judge me. You're not going to be judged if you're a believer. No. He judges the unrighteous, but notice what he does for the righteous. Rewards them. And those who fear your name, small and great, I love that, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. And that all you, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. There it is. He's going to reward us. And let me tell you, his reward is going to be well worth it, guys. Life's going to be tough. We're going to experience some ups and downs. But we're going to get there. He's going to make sure we get there. He's going to make sure you get there. If you just trust in him and believe in him and let your life speak to him, speak for him. I love that he puts in there small and great. Right? Isn't that the struggle? We think, well, I'll get to heaven if I'm good enough. Small and great. That word great is the same word for loud voices. It's the mega. It's the small, insignificant, and the great significant. Those that are making a difference. All of them who believe in Jesus. You just got to put your faith and your trust in Christ. His kingdom's coming. In verse 19, the last thing we see is the temple of God open and the throne is open. Verse 19. And then the temple of God was opened in heaven and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. This is so important. The temple's open, full access. I mean, Jesus, right? The Holy of Holies, the veil that was separated the two was torn when Jesus died on the cross. So we have access to God now. But our voices proclaiming what God's doing cause the elders to worship, and then we're able to see the glory of God. The Ark of the Covenant speaks of the presence of God. John was able to see it. They were able to see it. It's going to be amazing. But the beautiful thing is we have full access to God today. We can come into the presence of God right this moment. So if you're feeling dry, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling discouraged, you feel like your walk with the Lord is just stale, get in the presence of God. Get in his glory. Let that, like the Shekinah glory that Moses had because he was in the presence of God. You just need to spend time with God. The only way we're going to be effective in this world is if we spend time with him. If we pray, if we praise, and if we make ourselves available for the divine appointments. Maybe you'll remember it, though. Divine appointments are waiting for us. Let's embrace them. Let's receive them. Let's live them. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. God, what a pleasure it is to open up our Bibles, to read several verses, and to have our hearts moved. God, I pray we would just be still in this moment. In the hustle and bustle of life and the ticking of the clock as it just goes by so quickly, we rarely get moments like this where we can just be still before you. Be quiet. Not think about anything but you. And so, God, we pray that through this message you've touched our hearts. You've prepared us for the week. You've encouraged us in some areas that we would in fact proclaim your kingdom, because we know it's coming. And we pray that you would rule and reign in our hearts, in our church, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our country. God, we depend upon you and not man. So bless your people here. God, give them the gift of remembrance, to remember the things you've done for them already, that they would go back to those places and be encouraged by your hand. Lord, we ask that you would bless the rest of our day. Guide us and direct us. Use us, Lord. Let your light shine through us so others may glorify our Father in heaven. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor, for you are due. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.